Second Samuel chapter 5, I will be reading from verse 17. The Bible says, in 2 Samuel 5:17, it says, "Now when the Philistines heard that they had appointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines went up to search for David, and David heard of it and went down to the stronghold. The Philistines also went and deployed themselves in the valley of Rephaim. So David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? Will you deliver them into my hand?' And the Lord said to David, 'Go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand.'" Verse 20. "So David went to Baal Perazim, and David defeated them there. And he said, 'The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water.'" The Lord will break through your enemies tonight, today, in Jesus' name. You will receive a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. It says, "Therefore, he called the name of that place Baal Perazim." My supporting text this morning is taken from the book of Acts 19. Two different texts, two different scenarios. But we're going to work something from those two scriptures this morning. Acts 19, verse 11. It says, "Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick. And the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, 'We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches.' Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, 'Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you?'" Help me ask your neighbor, ask them, "Who are you?" Now, do they know you? He says, "But who are you?" Now, when evil spirits start asking, "Who are you?" then there's a problem. You are in big trouble. It says, "Who are you?" And then the Bible says in verse 16, it says, "Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all Jews and Gentiles dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified." This morning, I just want to talk to you about something I've titled, "Increasing Your Spiritual Capacity." Increasing your spiritual capacity. You know, last week we started the month of increase. We declared that this is our month of increase. And as we continue in the month of increase, I want to just spend some time to talk about the need for us to increase our spiritual capacity. As I said last week, God wants to increase us. God wants to increase us financially, materially. He wants us to increase. It's his plan for us to grow and be enlarged. He wants to increase us materially. He wants to increase us on our jobs. He wants to increase our business, the profits we make. He wants to increase us. And I believe seriously that even as we continue this month, that we are entering into a season of increase in our lives. In the name of Jesus. You know, the Bible states something in the book of 2 Samuel that we read earlier, chapter 5, verse 17. It says that when the Philistines heard that David had been anointed as king, it says all the Philistines went searching for him. When they heard that David had been promoted, they heard that an increase had come into his life. The Bible says that they went, listen to me, when they went searching for him, they were not going to congratulate him. It wasn't a case that, "Oh, congratulations, you are now king." No, it wasn't a case that they wanted to jubilate with him or celebrate with him. They wanted to test if he had the capacity to be king. When they went looking for him, they wanted to test his power, his ability to fight, his might. They wanted to try him to see, hey, what kind of authority does he have? Are you listening to me? And you find out that it's interesting, because as I thought about it, you find out that in the scriptures, when David was a shepherd boy, nobody reckoned with him. Even his father almost forgot about him. Amen? His brother certainly did not reckon with him. But the minute he defeated Goliath, so there was a little bit of increase in his life. There was a bit of promotion in his life when he defeated Goliath. What happened? He came to the attention of all Israel and King Saul. Such that from then on, the king started looking for him. And then it went further that when he then became king, another level of increase. It wasn't just the nation of Israel. It was now other nations around, the Philistines and the nations around him. They started paying attention to him. When he became king, what happened? All hell broke loose, if I use that word. And suddenly they were looking for him. They were searching for him. What I'm trying to say here is, God wants to increase us. Amen? As we desire increase in our lives, as God increases us, you can be certain that with each level of increase, there will be certain situations and attacks that are commensurate with the new level. There's a popular saying that they sometimes say, you know, in the Christian circles, that for every new level, there's a new devil. So the higher you rise, the more whatever the devils that you face. So as you increase in any area of your life, you'll find that for each step of increase you take, the challenges you face will be different. And why I feel that it's pertinent that we share this is as we enter into our season of increase, as we are talking about increase, we had better be prepared for those challenges. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Well, let me try to illustrate this morning. You know, years ago when I was single and I did not have a property, the challenge I faced related more to loneliness and boredom, you know, after I became a Christian. So it was like boredom, loneliness, trying to fill my time with certain things. Now, when I got married, it was another challenge altogether. It was another level of challenges. The challenge was no longer loneliness or boredom. And then, you know, even after we got married, when it was just two of us, if there's no money, we know that as adults, you know, you survive. You sort yourself out. Now, when a child came in, another level of challenge. So for each increase that God was giving me and giving us in our life, what was happening? There was a new level of challenge that was faced. And for each new level of challenge faced, I needed to develop the skills. I needed to increase my capacity so that I'll be able to handle the challenge. In fact, you find out that there are a lot of boys that are married as husbands. So that in reality they are boys, but they are husbands. But because they have not grown up to be men, they cannot handle the challenges in their homes. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? Let me try to illustrate again. I don't know. You know, when you are a tenant, when you don't have your house, when you are a tenant, you can live in a place 6 months move, another 6 months move. In fact, you can move everything you own in a car, usually. You don't worry too much about bills, depending on. Now, I remember when we moved into our flats, flats years ago, you know, there was another level of challenge. And then when we now moved into a house, now we'd always wanted a house with garden. Nobody told me that you needed to mow the garden. So after like 4 weeks, the garden was growing. I was thinking, what's wrong with this thing? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. The bills that you face when you have a house is different from the kind of bills that you face when you have a two-bedroom flat. And if your capacity, your capacity has not increased, what will happen? They will take back NatWest. They'll just take that, sorry, you are not ready for this level yet. Go back to your old level. Am I speaking to somebody? Listen to me. The same way when God increases us in life, in any area, our spiritual capacity must increase so that it does not become a burden that is too much to carry. Listen to me. If we did not have the earning capacity for a house, it would have become a burden that is too much to carry. Get this. For each new level we move to in our career, in our businesses, in our ministry, in our homes, our spiritual capacity ought to increase with it. But what you find is that a lot of people become heavyweights in their careers. A lot of people get married, so they become heavyweights. But spiritually, they are like featherweights. I was looking at the different weights. And I found out that heavyweights, it's unlimited. So it's like 90 kilograms upwards. So from 91, 90 kilograms upwards. So it's unlimited. So a heavyweight boxer can be like 185 kilograms. Now imagine if you are a heavyweight in your business, but spiritually you are a featherweight. So the challenges that are coming your way, they are looking at you that this one must be heavyweight. Let me try to explain. Imagine there used to be a boxer. I don't know any boxers these days. But in those days, there used to be one that was called Prince Nassim. Nassim Ahmed. He's still around. Okay. I think he's featherweight or something along those lines. Now, imagine if they put him in the ring with Tyson. That is what is happening in the spirit. When you become a heavyweight in life, God has increased us to a level of the heavyweight. But spiritually, if you remain a featherweight, the devils you are facing are heavyweight devils. I don't know if I'm making sense. Or are you getting this? You see? And what happens is that when a lot of people, when they are not increasing spiritually, what begins to happen? As they grow in life, as God increases them, they begin to crumble because their spiritual capacity is not at the level at which they are operating. And get this, if you do not grow spiritually, you will end up groaning under the burden you are carrying. Let me repeat that. If you don't grow spiritually, then you'll end up groaning under the burden, under the weights that you are carrying. Let me use another analogy. I want us to get, because I believe that this is a very important message. You know, in football, in this country, there are different divisions. Now, you have the Premier League, you have another division called Championship. You have Division 1, Division 2, and then it goes on to the non-league ones. Now, the Premier League is the top division in this country. Yes? So that's where the best teams play. Now, at the end of every season, what happens? The top, I think, 3 or 4 teams from Championship, they get promoted to the Premiership. To the Premier League. Yes? Now, so there has been increase in those. God has promoted them, those clubs, from Championship level to Premier League level. Okay. Now, if you study or if you follow football over the years, or if you have in this country over the years, what you find out, or what I have discovered, let me put it that way, is that teams that get promoted from the championship level to the Premier League level, if they do not buy new players or make certain investments, what tends to happen is by the end of the season, they get relegated back to where they are coming from. Are you getting this? So basically what that means is that although they got an increase, they were promoted, their capacity, they did not increase their capacity. They did not increase the level at which they were operating. So they were now functioning as a Premier League club, but playing like a championship club. And by the time you play with like a championship or whatever, and you are playing the Premier League, what they will do is they will beat you, naked-ed you. And then at the end of the day, they just push them back. You are not ready for this level. Now I hope you're getting, I'm using illustrations. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 24, verse 10, it says, if your strength is small, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is what? Small. That means that in the day, the kind of adversity God will permit to come our way, God expects us to have the strength to handle it. The Bible makes us to understand that there is no temptation that will come our way. God, you see, anytime any trial, any challenge comes our way, you can be certain that God expects us to have developed the capacity to handle that. But if we have not developed it, what happens is a lot of people, when the challenges come, they start running and trying to develop. But hey, the increase should have come beforehand. Are you with me? You know, I like the Message version. Let me read this to you. I like the Message version of that scripture, Proverbs 24:10. The Message version puts it this way. It says, if you fall to pieces in crisis, there wasn't much to you in the first place. Now, if you fall to pieces in crisis, it says there wasn't much to you in the first place. Increasing our capacity is very key. As much as we desire increase, as much as we desire God to promote us, as much as we desire for God to give us and bless us and move us to another level in ministry, in business, we had better be ready for it. We also need our spiritual capacity to increase, or to increase our spiritual capacity in order to dethrone the strong man that is occupying the position where we should be. You see, listen to me. There are certain things that God has earmarked for you and I. There are certain positions, certain possessions that are ours. There are certain things that we are meant to possess, but we don't have it yet. Listen to me. You need to get this. There are certain realms in life. There are certain positions in life that we will struggle to occupy until we increase our spiritual capacity. Let me explain. Turn with me to Luke 11. Luke 11. Luke 11, chapter 21. I hope you still desire increase after this message. Luke 11:21, it says something there. You know, Jesus was talking about casting out demons. You know, he was casting out demons, and they were looking at him somehow, so he started talking about it. But in Luke 11:21, let me just read that place. He says, when a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But it says in verse 22, when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoils. Listen to me. Jesus was saying there that, look, I am a man stronger than what has held the man bound. So because I entered into that realm, the spiritual capacity I have is more than the one that was holding the other person bound. And the same way, in our lives, there are certain strong men that are sitting on possessions that God has earmarked for us. And until we increase our capacity, we cannot overcome that strong man. The truth of the matter is that we are meant to be stronger than the strong man that the enemy has set over those goods, or that has stolen the things that God says rightly belongs to us. You know, in Acts 19 that we read earlier, Acts 19, the Bible says something, you know. It talks about those, the seven sons of Sceva. It says that, it says they saw Paul. They saw Paul working on unusual miracles. So, they didn't realize that Paul's level was different from their level. You know, there are levels in the spiritual realm. There are levels in the spiritual realm. They didn't realize that they are not on the same level. They thought they were mates. Am I your mate? They didn't understand. Listen to me. So the Bible says that when they saw Paul doing that, they took it upon themselves that if Paul can do that, we too, we can do it. If you can preach, I can preach. You have mouth, I have mouth. They did not realize that Paul, when he met Jesus, what did he do? For 3 years, the Bible says that he did not confer with flesh and blood. They did not realize that Paul was building up his spiritual capacity. So when they just saw him come out and say, in Jesus' name, come out of that, they thought, all we have to say is in Jesus' name. You know, do you know that it's not what you do outside that gives you capacity spiritually? It's not the prayer you pray in church. It's not the walk. It's not the walk or the singing in church. It is what you do in your closet. And so after they saw Paul doing that, what did they do? The Bible says that they went to those demons, or the man that had the evil spirit. Get this. It says in verse 13, it says, we exercise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. So it is obvious that they did not know this Jesus. That by the Jesus that Paul preaches, I tell you, go out. According to what the general overseer said. According to what Pastor Shola was preaching on Sunday. It is not the words of Pastor Shola. Listen to me. He says, those demons, do you know that the enemy knows us? They know the ranking you are in. Listen to me, they said that Jesus will know. When Jesus talks, we run, we tremble. Paul, we know. When he talks, we run, we obey. But you, we have not heard your voice in the spiritual realm before. So who are you? Help me ask your neighbor. Say, neighbor, who are you? Well, help me ask them, are you known in heaven? Then ask them, are you known in hell? Let me explain. You know the evil spirits are coming from hell. The devil, why do you think the devil, when he went to in Job, he says that he was roaming around and things. I went to God and said, Job, have you considered your servant? So he knew probe in hell or wherever they are based. But when they don't hear your voice in the spiritual realm, they won't know you. Or if they know you, they know that this one is lightweight. Further away, they just send one small demon. Go and harass him a bit. He says, who are you? Who are you? You know that for people that come from, let me put it this way. You know, there are some people that don't need introduction. So, for example, if David Cameron walks into any place in this country now, they won't ask him, who are you? Isn't that right? Or Prince Charles. They won't ask him, who are you? And they'll say, that's Prince Charles. Or if you go, there are some people, if you go into, let's say, some say top class hotels. I remember years ago, you know, I went shopping, or more like window shopping. So I went to a place called Bond Street in London. Now I was dressed jeans and, you know, and just sneakers and things, you know, and a t-shirt. And I was going from shop to shop. Now there was this shop I wanted to enter and the door was locked. And I couldn't understand why they should lock the door. So I went to the, I said, can you open the door? The security man, he looked at me from up to toe, open the door, can I help you? I want to enter. Do you want to buy anything? No, I'm just looking. Sorry, this is not the place. but they had to look that you don't look like the sort of person. In the spiritual realm, if you have not increased your capacity and you try to overthrow the strong man in your life, they will just go, hey, who are you? Are you getting this? Amen? It says that those spirits, they stripped them. It says they overpowered them. Listen to it. It says they prevailed against them. And then, not just that, after beating them up, they then turned them naked. You know, there are certain things and possessions that are ours. But the way to possess our possessions is to overthrow the strong man sitting on our goods. You cannot overthrow a strong man until you are stronger than that strong man. You cannot. And get this, there are rankings in the spirit. There are rankings in the spirit. There was a time in the book of Mark, just to show you that there are rankings in the spirit. In the book of Mark, chapter 9, verses 14 to 29, the Bible talks about, you know, that the disciples, let me turn there, let's read it. Mark 9. The Bible says in Mark 9, I won't read the whole thing. In verse 14, it says, and when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them, and scribes disputing with them. Verse 16, and he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? So Jesus was like, what's happening here? And then then one of the crowd answered and said, teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, he foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And then, you know, the Bible says Jesus you know, sorted the man out. But let me now jump to verse 29 or 28. It says, "And when he had come into the house," so after he had cast the devil out, the spirit out, it says his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" So he said to them, "This kind can come out by nothing but prayer and fasting." So what Jesus was saying is that, look, you guys, in order to be able to do something like that, you need to increase your spiritual capacity. That your spiritual capacity is not at the level to be able to deal with that situation. And get this, when God increases us, anytime there's an increase, you can be certain that there will be a commensurate situation you need to sort out or challenge. I remember years ago, there are rankings, though. You know, I remember years ago, when I was an assistant pastor, there was a day that a lady in the church that we used to attend lost her mind. You know, as in lost her mind. So my pastor called me and said I should go with some people and go and pray for her. So we got to her house. I saw the situation and we started praying. Shakan, the label, started praying. And, you know, after we prayed for some time, I was saying, "Who are we?" She would just look at me like, we'd start saying something. Shakan, madam. So, after some time, of course, it wasn't working. Nothing was happening. Then, you know, we called my pastor, and he came down. When he got there, he looked at the situation. I just said, "Let's start worshiping God." And we just started worshiping God. And as we worshiped God, less than 30 minutes, she came back to her senses fully. Fully. Now, what am I saying? Ranking in the spirit. There's a saying in my country, power past power. My level of power at that time could not deal with what was happening. Do you understand what I'm saying? But a stronger man, somebody that had another level, so we called for reinforcements. And by the time the reinforcement came, the level of power defronts the enemy. So there's ranking in the spirit. Now that kind of situation, me too, by God's grace, I've entered another level of ranking. Amen? But what am I talking about? We need to increase our spiritual capacity individually and as a church. Because when increase comes, as increase comes, God forbid that it becomes a burden that causes us to groan. How do we increase our spiritual capacity? One of the ways to increase our spiritual capacity is by making it a habit to pray in tongues daily. Now, it seems simple, but it's effective. Very effective. Listen to me. The Bible states something in the book of Jude 20. It says, "But you, beloved," it says, "building yourselves up on your most holy faith." It then says, "praying in the Holy Spirit." It says, building yourself. Why would it say building yourself up? You are building something. You are exercising something. It says, building yourself up in the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. You see, get this. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, when you pray in tongues, what you're doing is you are building yourself up spiritually. Now, not everybody can pray in tongues, but you need to. It is very important. If time permits, we pray. I'll ask people that don't pray in tongues this morning to come forward. But you see, when you pray in tongues, what you are doing is you are building up your inner man.
You are building. Now, 1 Corinthians 14, 4, it says that he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. Get this. If you make it a habit to pray in tongues daily, there will be some things that you don't know you are praying about, but it's been sorted in the spiritual. Well, what tends to happen is sometimes, you know, sometimes Christians, we are lazy. So the same 10-minute prayers that we've been doing for the past 10 years is what we are still doing. Even for some people that pray in tongues, the same 10 minutes, 20 minutes. Some people, it's the same tongues that they've been saying since their parents were born, that they are still saying. What do I mean? So when they first became a Christian, they wanted to buy a Toshiba flat screen. Toshiba Nissan. Toshiba BMW, Toshiba. Honda, Yakanderebo, Toshiba. And that's it, on that same level of tongue. Listen to me. As you have been growing, hasn't your vocabulary improved? Or who is still using the same vocab that they used in primary school? The same way with tongues. You see, as you grow in your Christianity, listen to me, the longer you are a Christian, the more you should be mature spiritually. The more you should be, we should be able to call, if people that have been Christians in this place for up to 3 years, they should be able to speak in tongues for an hour without stopping. I'm not sure we will have that. When they be looking at time. Toshiba. BMW, Toshiba. Lord, Toshiba. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you getting something? You should be able to let me tell you something that helped me. One of the things that, you know, helped me, and I still do it a lot, is I just go for a walk and start talking, speaking in tongues. And so as you do that, you won't even realize the time because you are in conversation with God. You should be able to wake up in the morning. You see, that even with the tongues that you speak, depending on the intensity of prayer, it changes. But some people don't change their gear. The same gear one. When you drive a car with gear one, after some time, the car will break down. Imagine going to London and you're Scotland and then you remain on gear one. When are you going to get there? That is why you are still at the same level. You are not where you ought to be. No, try to imagine. It is the same way. If you are going to Scotland and you remain on gear one, even though there is petrol in the car, the journey that should take you, how long is Scotland? 8 hours or thereabouts. The thing will take you 5 days. The same way, if your tongue is still Toshiba, what will happen is where you ought to have gotten to, because your tongue has not changed gear, it is still on gear one. Are you getting it? We need to make it a daily habit. And when I talk about daily habit, it's like you wake up or whatever time you decide that is, spend some time praying in tongues. Another way in which you can increase your spiritual capacity is to find somebody to pray with. Now, when I say find somebody to pray with, so, you know, sometimes when people say, oh, find somebody to pray with, they offload their whole burden and problems upon that person. Oh, so I want us to pray about my job. We need to change my car. My car is breaking down. Can we pray about that? Can we pray about... But when I'm... When, you see, when you find somebody to pray with, what I found is that when you pray with people, you pace each other. You pace... Up till now, I enjoy... Sometimes I just ask some people, you know, if they're available, come and pray with me in the office on a certain day. Why? Pacing each other. Certain people. And then also, yeah, praying concerning certain things, not just yourself. Amen? You see, when you pray with others, especially when the prayer points you're praying about are not personal. As you are interceding on behalf of the church, on behalf of others, Jesus is interceding on your behalf. I'm talking about ways in which you can increase your... A lot of people don't have anyone they pray with. They said they conducted a study, I don't remember what year now, you know, in America. In fact, this was even amongst ministers. And I think about 60-something percent of the people interviewed said they maybe spend about, I think, 15 minutes, 10, 15 minutes praying a day. These are ministers. Now, I thought to myself, if that is happening amongst the ministers, I don't know what the thing is in the UK, then the members of the church, they probably will be spending 2 minutes. Amen. Find yourself a prayer partner. Find someone that you can, you know, that wants to grow spiritually as well. And say, let's meet. Maybe once a week. Make it a commitment. Let's meet once a week. A time that suits both of you. Spend 30 minutes or an hour praying together. Another way that will help you to grow is by to increase your spiritual capacity. Look for problems around you that you can pray concerning. Or people around you, and make it a burden to pray for them. Now, some people are sleeping. But you see,
anyway, let me.
Amen. Spiritual capacity, increasing your spiritual capacity. Next way in which you can increase your spiritual capacity is making fasting a regular part of your life. You know, it's interesting that Jesus said that this kind comes out by nothing but prayer and fasting. Now that should get us thinking. Now, if Jesus is saying that, hey, for the disciples to be able to deal with this kind of issue, that they needed to have fasted and prayed, then shouldn't we be thinking that we should make it a regular habit in our lives? You know, one of the first things that as Christians we need to learn to master is our stomach, our appetite. Amen. Let me finish. And then lastly, increasing your spiritual capacity, set yourself Bible reading targets. A lot of people wake up in the morning, they think, oh, okay, what am I going to read today? A lot of people wake up in the morning and all they read is the devotion, daily bread. When you're starting out, that is good. But you know that is food that somebody else has digested. Daily bread is milk You know, open heavens is milk. Somebody has eaten it, digested it, and then they've now given it to you on a platter. But when you begin to eat it yourself, chew upon it, you find out that your spiritual capacity will begin to increase. I mean, for people that, you know, if you just start out, it's okay to use devotions, devotionals. It's okay. And it's still okay to use it. But if you've been a Christian for some time, you can use it, but you should use it in addition to your own Bible reading targets. Amen? I'm talking about increasing our spiritual capacity. This morning, I believe God wants to increase us. But the kind of increase that God wants to give us, He wants us, or He expects us, to be prepared to handle it. And there's no way we can handle it if spiritually we have not grown to the level that God is taking us to. Let us rise up and pray. Hallelujah.